Okay. Let's just get the party started. How about we do that? Because I got shit to do. And so do you. Am I getting... There we go. Thanks.
Word. Let's get the party started. Testing 1, 2, 3. Hopefully, is Randy, is the microphone working? Good. Let's do this. I see waveform. I must be recording. Where's our... Yeah. What's up, y'all? It's early in the morning. It's Monday morning. We are recording this. The computer's recording this. Randy's looking cute. I'm talking. I'm also looking cute, but more importantly, I'm talking. We're recording this. We got to get it out. So it's just, I got to go. We got shit to do. Both of us have shit to do. And I'm sitting here thinking about a lot of stuff, which I should be writing it down because I'm already going to start forgetting things I'm going to talk about. You know what I hate? I hate going through my notes for the show and finding stacks of stuff and not knowing if I've already talked about it or not. Because I've got this binder clip holding together a series of articles. And I'm looking at them and they look really familiar. And I think I've talked about them already, but I'm not sure. I hate when that happens. And we're going to call the old stuff before we do it. Yes, I know I'm supposed to face the microphone when I talk. Just shush for a minute. I'm trying to get my clipboard because I'm going to write down the notes. Because there's shit I want to talk about. Word. That. And that. I want to talk about those. Okay. Hi, what's up, y'all? This is the Great One himself, Center for Libertarian Society, CYNLIBSOC.com on the interwebs. And the founder of Cynical Libertarian Society and your host here at this podcast, stating the obvious, 10 fucking years. 10 years. 10 years. That's 5 plus 5. That's math. Oh God, I just did patriarchy. I have oppressed women by adding numbers together. Patri-fucking-archy. Found an interesting blog that I've been looking at lately, and he's got a great series of posts on there where he's analyzing one of these privilege checklists that the feminists put out. You know, you're privileged if you have a penis and shit. Anyway, I'm gonna post a link to it. I'm not gonna talk about it, but I am gonna post a link to it because he does a good job analyzing this shit, and I'm so fucking. I need coffee. I do have the giant thermos of coffee in here, so there will be frequent coffee breaks. He does a good job of analyzing this list of male privilege and all this other shit that the feminists are so busy trying to push out there. And of course, feminism is about being a victim. And we're going to go, because it's Monday and it's early and Randy and I both have shit to do and we need to pump this out, pump it up. We need to pump out this podcast. I'm just telling you, I'm going for some really low-hanging fruit today for the content. I'm going to talk about feminism. I'm talking about femistatism. I'm talking about women. So really low-hanging fruit, but you got to do what you got to do sometimes. What was I going to say? Randy, what was I going to say? Oh yes, today is the 9th of February, 2015, and if you want to send us email, the email address is God, that's dog spelled backwards, God@CYNLIBSOC.com on the interwebs. I'm the Great One himself. That is the lovely and adorable Randy. Am I enunciating worth a shit? Because I feel like my words are just slurring, as opposed to normal, right?
Exactly.
Sally sells seashells by the seashore. Sally sells seashells by the seashore. What time is it? It is 8 o'clock. Sally sells seashells by the seashore. I have to be somewhere at 10. When do you have to be somewhere? Okay. Done. Well, we'll be finished here by 9:45, in theory-ish. Okay, low-hanging fruit. We're just going to make fun of women. Low-hanging fucking fruit. This is from... Wait, do I want to start with the trivia? Let me start with this. was talking to somebody the other day, and the phrase came up, and this phrase often comes up, especially with, oddly enough, women. Isn't that interesting? I didn't think about it, but it was actually a woman who said this to me. I hear this. Women say to me, well, money doesn't matter. You know, because we're having a discussion. I'm like, we should charge money for that. She said, well, I don't feel comfortable charging money for things. Money doesn't matter to me. Well, that's odd. Whenever I hear somebody say to me, money doesn't matter to me, what I'm hearing, what the translators in my brain say, what the anarcho-capitalist hears when some fucking statist says, money doesn't matter to me. Hold on. It's too bright in here. There we go. Better. Thank you. When someone says, money doesn't matter to me, what they're saying is, they don't think they should have to pay their own way through life. Right? Because people, well, money doesn't matter to me. Well, but you want somewhere to live, right? And you want food, and you want alcohol, and you want an iPhone, and you want an iPad, and you want nice clothing, and all this other stuff. But yet you're saying money doesn't matter to you. But I guarantee you still want all of those things. So where exactly do those things come from? Well, that's what your welfare payments are for, right? That's what your food stamps are for, your WIC, your child support, your alimony, your minimum wage. And I also find that the people who say to me, money doesn't matter to me, are typically the people that can't really get money for anything because they don't have any skills. They don't know how to create any value for other people. And so as a methodology, I think part of this, it's a methodology of rationalizing their worthlessness, right? Because again, we as humans, I've talked about this before in the past. I don't think I've talked about it lately, but I've talked about it enough. And there's plenty of books written about this topic and people who study this and everything else. We as humans, we are rationalization machines, right? Everybody loves to believe that they make decisions based on logic and intelligence and reasoning and data, and it's all just pure horseshit. And people who don't have self-awareness don't realize this. What we do is we make decisions based on emotions, and then we seek rationalization to support those decisions. Right, it's like, over the last few days, I've been playing the shit out of this computer game. And when I sit down to play the computer game, I'm not making the decision to play the computer game as opposed to working on a website, or working on photography, or working on this podcast, or cleaning my house, or, you know, cleaning. God, the fucking studio here is a mess. I've got to get a system. Because I was just talking about, I don't know if I've read these articles on the cast or not, and I have to try to figure that out because I don't want to retread old material. Like, I don't repeat myself already. But I was thinking, I've got to get a system here. I got to get two boxes, and like one is box for shit to review. Actually, I think I need three boxes. Box for shit to review, box for shit that I've reviewed it, because I read it and I go through and I highlight the parts I want to read and talk about. And then box for shit I've already talked about, because all the time I read something and then I throw it away, and then 2 weeks later I'm going, damn it, I need that article. The Bree Bolin thing I pulled out of the trash and it's sitting over there on the desk because I need that for upcoming projects. So anyhow, I need to organize. So I could be doing that, but instead I'm playing the computer game. Now, did I go through some logical, rational, empirical, fact-based process to arrive at the conclusion that I should play a computer game instead of working on the podcast? No, fucking of course not. I made an emotional decision to play the fucking computer game. Then after starting the computer game, as it's firing up, then I sit there and I rationalize that decision. I say, well, I'll only play the computer game for an hour, which is like the second biggest lie you've ever heard. You know, the biggest lie, of course, is I promise that I won't come in your mouth. And I rationalize all these, I'll play for an hour and then I'll work on the podcast. Oh, I worked really hard today. I got a lot done. So this is a reward, when in fact I didn't do a fucking thing all day long and I know it. Right. So, and this is how humans, this is how we work. And again, many of you out there right now, especially statist, are saying, no, that's not, I'm a scientist. I believe in global warming. I only use empirical evidence. Well, no, actually you don't. Most, like 97% of your decisions in life are made based on purely emotional responses. And then you rationalize them after the fact. This is how we fucking work. And again, if you have self-awareness, you can know this, and you can circumvent it sometimes. I mean, I circumvent it sometimes. There's times when I want to play the computer game, and I don't. But even when you have the self-awareness that allows you to know this, you still fall trap to making emotional decisions and then rationalizing them afterwards. And that's a big part of this money doesn't matter shit, is rationalizing things after the fact. Right? You don't have any skills, you can't create any value, you have a liberal arts degree, whatever it is. And instead of looking at the empirical facts and saying, I can't charge money for shit because I can't do anything I can charge money for, people rationalize it by saying money doesn't matter. But then, of course, these people who say money doesn't matter still need money to buy all the things they want. Because I guarantee you, very few of the people who say to you, money doesn't matter, are not hermits and monks. They're people who like alcohol. And if you're here in Fort Collins, like smoking dope, and they like drinking microbrews, and they like buying clothes, and they like owning a bicycle, and they like having a place to live, and they like having a car, and they like putting gas in it, and all this shit costs money. So money does fucking matter. Money does fucking matter. And when you tell me some shit money doesn't matter to you, I know you're a fucking idiot. Okay. Also, as I look at my notes to see where else I was going to go with that topic, on the whole welfare aspect of it, money doesn't matter to me. That's why Obamaphone, right? You can get your free telephone. Money doesn't matter to me. That's why Obamacare. You can get your free health care. Not really free, is it? That's why money doesn't matter to me. I get my food stamps. Oh. Money doesn't matter to me because I know the government will provide for me, because the government is here to circumvent natural selection. Because people for whom money doesn't matter, because what is money? Money is a way to get access to other resources that you need in order to survive. Now, you can also get access to resources you don't need in order to survive. Right? Maybe you don't need an iPad to survive. But money gets you an iPad. You do need food to survive. Money gets you food. So people who say money doesn't matter are people who are saying access to resources for my survival don't matter to me. Which, of course, if evolution and natural selection were not being circumvented by the government, these people would die off, as they should. However, these people are also voters and democracy. All right, let's move on. What's next? Let's start going for the low-hanging fruit. Let's talk about girls. Women. I love it when I'm dealing with female clients and I tell them, you know, you really should do this way, because doing it that way isn't going to work very well. And then I tell them again, yeah, you can do it that way, but you really should do it this way, because doing it that way isn't going to work that well, because it's really cumbersome and complicated and it's going to cause problems. And then you tell them again, you know, you're doing it that way, not the best idea. You should do it. Doing it this way is going to be easier for you, and here's why. And then they send you an email and they say, you know what? Instead of doing it that way, I'm going to do it this way, because this way is so much easier. And it's like, oh, you mean the way I tried to tell you that, like 3, 4, 5 fucking times, but you didn't listen. But nobody listens. But this is a human attribute. I've talked about this before. We as humans, we have to learn things the hard way. But it does get a little frustrating sometimes when you see people just having to learn things the hard way. And it's like, you know, I could save you about 3 weeks of pain and grief if you would just listen to what the fuck I'm saying. But you're not going to do that, are you? Because you have to learn things the hard way. Speaking of the hard way, ballet dancers. This isn't really about ballet dancers, but ballet dancers make me hard. Read a couple of posts lately, Return of Kings and other related stuff, and this has been an ongoing topic, but about how sports, professional sports, like especially the NFL, is becoming so feminist-dominated and geared towards women, and how men are losing interest in things like the NFL as women become more and more interested in it. Because, of course, the NFL is trying to cater more and more to the needs of women because it recognizes, I'm sure, that's where the money is and all this other stuff. And this also ties in with the whole exploration of what is and what is not attractive in women. And as I've talked about before, you know, all the trends where women are going are trends that are simply not attractive. All the piercings, all the tattoos, cutting your hair off, being a slut, being fat. All of this stuff makes for unattractive women. They may be feminist, but they're not feminine. One of the things which additionally, in my mind, makes women unattractive, and which is where women are going more and more and more, is being these hardcore sports fanatics, especially with football. You know, around here, it's like you get on, if you're in the Colorado area where I am, and you're, you know, I don't know about other areas, that's why I'm going to speak specifically about this, but the chicks around here on the Facebook and on the Tinder and on the Twitterverse and on the OkCupid land and all this other shit, they're always in their football jerseys and they're like, I love football, I can't wait for football or baseball, you know. And it's just like, when you see these chicks, like every picture has them in a football jersey or something like that. I think I know what attracts them to this. I think it's the fact that sports, like football, are filled with alpha males. You know, big, giant, hunking guys with giant cocks. And as much as women try to pretend they are intellectuals, the fact is they are life support systems for a vagina. And what they want more than anything is to be fucked. I mean, look at all the hype, and I'll talk about this in an upcoming episode because I've got some articles that are going to touch on this. Look at all the hype over the 50 Shades of Grey. And this 50 Shades of Grey movie is coming up, and that's some kind of stuff I'm going to read. And I mean, basically, it's a book and a movie about a woman who gets fucked by a rich guy. Which is exactly what people like myself have been saying for years. Women are attracted to what? They're attracted to men who have resources, because women want resources, right? Because women say, money doesn't matter to me. Which is why they want to fuck millionaires, because money doesn't matter to them. And they want to be fucked. Right? Remember some odd time ago when there was that girl, she was the, oh God, Miss Teenage US, or Miss Teenage something. But she was in one of those beauty pageants, and she won, and she had a little crown on her head, and then she got paid money to be fucked by some guy in a hotel room and made a porn movie, made a porn video, you know, and it exploded, and I think it was YouPorn offered her money to be their spokesman and all this other stuff, and she was all shamed and disgraced and everything. But I mean, anyway, here's a young girl who was literally treated like a princess. You know, she wore a crown on her head, and she won a beauty pageant, and what was it she wanted to do with her life? She wanted to get paid money to be fucked by a man she didn't know in a hotel room and have it filmed. You know, that was what she did with her life. And this, there was the perfect look into the psyche of women. Regardless of what women say, regardless of all the bullshit you hear from the feminists and all this other stuff, when you get right down to it, what women want is they want resources and they want to be fucked. And that's what the whole 50 Shades of Grey phenomena tells us. Ultimately, deep down inside, women want resources and they want to be fucked. And all this other stuff, it's just window dressing in their quest to have, I mean, I don't even know what they want. I kind of know what they want. I don't really know what they want. And again, also it's important to always differentiate that there is the loud femistatist majority, and you would think from the shrillness, right, and from the way they populate the airwaves and they get all the media coverage, that a majority of women, that most women are in on board with the femistatist camp. And in fact, most of them are not. Most women are not in the femistatist camp, which irritates the femistatist to no end. Most women are in fact going through life simply wanting resources and wanting to be fucked. So I think that women are gravitating towards this, trying to show off as sports fanatics, because they think it's going to attract men, they think it's going to get them more resources, and they think it's going to get them fucked. Ultimately, I think that's why they're doing it. The thing is, my analysis says this. Women who are overly into sports are just not attractive because it's not feminine. It's one thing, you know, if the guys are sitting there watching the football game and the chick comes in and watches a play or two and she's like, oh, that's cool, whatever. That's great, go away. That's what we want. When chicks are all into sports and they like know the names of all the players and they know the stats and they understand it, here's the equivalent. Here's where the ballet dancers come in. Here's the equivalent. I like ballet dance. Dancing, ballet. I like ballet. I like most forms of dance in general. I like ballet. But I don't wear ballerina clothing. I don't know the names of any ballet dancers. While I know a little bit about ballet and how it works, the technical aspects of it, I don't like know the names of every position and how everything should be executed flawlessly. See, I don't even know the right names to say, like the spins and stuff. And if I did, that would be a little weird. And it's the same thing with women. Like, if women are aware that the Denver Broncos exist and they understand, okay, that's a football and you have to take the football over the line and you get points for that and the quarterback throws it, I mean, that's great. But when the woman knows the name of every player on the team, that's just a little fucking weird. That's all I'm saying. The whole girl as sports fanatic thing. It's like having tattoos and piercings and cutting your hair off. It's not attractive, but you think it is. It's not. Let me move furniture while we're recording. That'll sound great on the microphone. And let me... Ooh, did I fuck that up? Nope. Okay, good. Hey, what do you know? I didn't fuck something up for once. Oh, shit, I gotta take that with me to my meeting. All right. Hang on. I need coffee. So speaking of the stupidity of women... Wait till you hear this one. And you're going to have to wait because I'm pouring coffee. Okay. Julie Goler. G-O-L-E-R. funny. Sorry, I should have read this ahead of time. This is hilarious. Wow, this is funny. Holy shit. All right, this is even funnier than I thought it was. All right. Sorry for all that shittiness, guys, but you're used to it by now. This is even funnier than I thought it was. Julie Goler, for $450 a session. Remember, folks, money doesn't matter. For $450 a session, not a year, not a month, not a week, a session. Book club leader Julie Goler helps women ignite their passion for reading. Women. I can't figure out why I can't stop making fun of women. There are women out there, and there's the thing, the women who are paying $450 per session to be in a book club. Did you know you can read books for free? I read books all the time. I've never had to pay $450 to read a book or to have my passion for reading ignited. I guarantee you, you can take this shit to the bank. The women who are in this woman's book club that they're paying $450 a session for, I guarantee you, these are all left-wing statists. They are all strong, independent women. And yet, they're so fucking stupid that they have to pay somebody $450 so that they can figure out how to read a fucking book. If you cannot figure out how to read a book on your own, do not fucking come to me and tell me you're a strong, independent woman. So this Julie Goler, she's 46 years old. She also works as an English teacher at Beverly Hills High School, and she admits to catering to, quote, a lot of movers and shakers, unquote. All of her clients, stay-at-home mothers and businesswomen alike, are, quote, looking to get back into some intellectual engagement with reading, unquote. And really, and they're going to pay $450 a session for that. A Goler-led meeting isn't just a gab session thinly veiled as a Gone Girl recap after all. Oh, actually, I bet it is. I bet these are some of the most shallow... Again, how much intellectualism can you get if you assemble a group of people who are all so fucking dumb that they're willing to pay $450 to read a book? You are not going to find intellectual powerhouses in there. Intellectual, intelligent, articulate people can read a fucking book without paying money for it. Her 10 plus groups, some of which have been convening for more than a decade, partake in weekly 75-minute salons. So $450 for 75 minutes. 75-minute salons on titles carefully selected. So in other words, these women need to have somebody else select for them what book to read to promote both an emotional journey and an intellectual conversation. Like 50 Shades of Grey. Joan Dillinson's fiercely honest 2005 memoir, The Year of Magical Thinking, for example, elicits, quote, extraordinary discussions, unquote, among Sagittarian widows and idling 30-somethings alike. The reason they're idling is because they can't find a man. The reason they can't find a man is because they're wearing sports jerseys, they have piercings, tattoos, and they're so fucking dumb that they're paying $450 for a 75-minute session to talk about a book that they could have read about for free. Quote, women have choices in my groups, unquote, she says, mentioning that readers are encouraged to select from a menu of titles. Why, I'm going to give you choices. There's billions of books. Here's the ones you can select from. See, to a woman, that's a choice. If you take billions of options and you narrow it down and then let a woman choose from the narrowed down options, that constitutes a choice in the mind of a femistatist. Then there's this great quote down here, quote, she takes time that I don't have to identify bigger themes, unquote, says Trisha Cardoso, an executive vice president at Showtime, who's been a Goaler enthusiast for 8 years. Post-group, she says, quote, I feel smart, engaged, and that I've taken a moment for myself, unquote. Oh my God, I feel so smart and engaged. I pay $400. I paid $450 to have somebody tell me to read a book and then tell me what the book means, because she doesn't have time to figure out for herself what the book is about. I can't figure out why. I can't figure out why women make less money. She takes the time that I don't have to identify bigger themes. Well, you're supposed to be identifying the themes of the book while you're reading the book. If you have time to read the book, you have time to identify the themes in the book. I'm reading a book. I can't figure out what it means. I have to pay somebody else to tell me what the book means. But of course, women don't understand why men don't regard them as their intellectual equals. I read something interesting the other day. I'd never thought about this before. Have you noticed how all of the great chess players are all men? And that when women have tried to compete against men in chess, and we're talking about, I'm not talking about like just people in their house, the average people. I mean, there's plenty of women who could probably kick my ass at chess because I'm not a great chess player, right? We're talking about grandmaster level chess players here. Oh, there are no female grandmaster chess players that I'm aware of. Maybe there are, I don't know. But the point is, when you get all the great chess players of the world together, you don't see any women. And if you go find some women who are good and you have them play against the good men, the women lose every fucking time. Just throwing that out as a unbiased observation, as empirical evidence for the superiority of the male intellect, which will offend the fuck out of the femistatist. And of course, when it comes to competing with men and women, we all know women should do what they do best, which is, of course, cooking. Or is it? Here we have, from Elle Magazine, this is an article where they went questing for restaurants that were run by women, which are great restaurants. And there's nothing here to... We picked 30 restaurants where women are calling the shots. So they had to go across the entire United States of America to find 30 restaurants where women are calling the shots. I wonder why that is. Possibly because if you let women call the shots at your restaurant doesn't last very long. But if this was interesting because, as I've said before, if you go any place around the world to restaurants that have great chefs, the chefs are always men. There are no great female chefs. Here's some statistics. I'm not going to empirically admit that my speaking skills are slipping. No, I'm going to emotionally rationalize that. I'm going to say it's because it's early in the morning and I haven't had enough coffee. And because money doesn't matter. Women in food, by the numbers, in the U.S., women account for 16% of chefs. So that would be the 16% of restaurants where the food sucks. Women account for 72% of servers, because female servers... What's the word I'm looking for? I kind of lost that thought. Female servers... And this is actually not... Well, no. I think this is true. Female servers, I think, do make better tips, because people like me would rather have a cute girl bring their food to them than an ugly guy. But... Chicks go to restaurants, they also tip good if the server is hot. So that's maybe not necessarily true. Chicks are, in the U.S., women account for 62% of bartenders and 31% of line cooks. Line cooks. All right. Percentage of female restaurant industry employees sexually harassed monthly by customers is 59%. And again, of course, there is no source for any of these statistics. Anytime you're reading, and you know, I've talked about statistics a million times, all of this should be taken as pure bullshit. Because first of all, it's in Elle magazine. Second of all, it's in Elle magazine without any source cited whatsoever. These are just random numbers on a piece of paper as far as I'm concerned. Absolutely fucking meaningless. If you don't have a source for your material, just shut the fuck up. And then it says here the percentage of male employees who are sexually harassed by customers is 50%. Now, of course, we all know that sexual harassment nowadays means being looked at. So it's another irrelevant number. Increase in woman-owned restaurants between 1997 and 2007, 50%. Number of female chefs who have been awarded 3 Michelin stars, the highest number possible. Okay, according to this, it's 6. Remember, I said there were no great chefs who were females. So apparently there are 6 great chefs who are females. Number of American female chefs who have won this honor would be 0. Well, yes, so what you're saying is there are 6 Michelin 3-star female chefs on the planet Earth, and none of them are in the United States. Well, this is not a surprise, because all the strong, independent female chefs in the United States are too busy worrying about feminism and free birth control and abortion and all this other shit instead of worrying about cooking. That's why none of them get an award for their cooking, because they're a bunch of goddamn femistatists. If you want to get an award for cooking, you have to stop being a femistatist and you have to actually fucking cook something. And, yeah, I mean, there's nothing... So here, again, women. Just women in general. This tells us so much about women. We had to go across the entire United States. We managed to find 30 restaurants, blah, blah. But then they have here this list. It says our criteria. Criteria number 1. A woman is a head chef or owner. And then it says, though we did include a sommelier, or something like that, I can't pronounce words, whose wine list is as important to the menu, and even an in-house farmer for this year's farm-to-table critical darling. So in other words, they're saying, here's our criteria. The first criteria is that a woman has to be the chef or the owner. And then right after that say, oh, but here's an exception to that criteria. Here's the second criteria. The restaurant opened in the past 2.5 years. Parentheses, with a precious few exceptions. So again, here's criteria number 2, is the restaurant has to open in the past 2.5 years, but not really, because we'll make exceptions to that criteria also. So do you notice how this is the female brain? We have a criteria, oh, but wait, there's exceptions to that. And now we have another criteria, oh, but wait, we've got exceptions to that one also. And the third criteria, the final criteria, is, quote, it's L-ish. That means the menu is forward thinking. I don't know what a forward thinking menu can possibly be. The scene is cool. The decor is sexy. The food is inviting. So all of that is completely subjective. There's nothing here. So this is their criteria. The woman has to be the head chef or the owner, but we'll make exceptions for that. The restaurant has to have opened in the past 2.5 years, but we'll make exceptions for that. And the restaurant has to be Elish, which means that it is forward thinking, which is completely subjective. Delightfully challenging, completely subjective. The scene cool. Okay, in the context, that does make sense. It has to be cool. Okay, that's subjective. The decor has to be sexy and inviting. Subjective. And the food has to be amazing. Subjective. So for women, this is, again, this I'm illustrating why women should not be paid the same amount of money as men, and I'm illustrating why women should not be in the workplace. For a man, if you say to a man, here are the criteria, 1, 2, 3, the criteria are the fucking criteria. You don't get to make exceptions to them, right? We're going to build a bridge. The bridge has to be made out of a material that can hold up a bunch of automobiles. There are no exceptions to this. It can't hold up a bunch of automobiles except for on Monday. The bridge has to have fucking criteria. And the criteria must be followed. For women, criteria, why, they're just things. You put some criteria, and then why, you, if you want exceptions, you just make exceptions. Oh my God, it doesn't matter. It's like money. It doesn't matter. Because I've got an Obamaphone and free healthcare, and I don't need a man because I get child support. Hey, Randy, how's it going? How are we doing on time? Are we done yet? Hey, that was all the babbling. Now let's get to the fun part. I have here, speaking of making fun of women, and possibly some men, I don't remember. My favorite advice column, Ask E. Jean from Elle Magazine. If you haven't heard me do one of these before, I don't even read E. Jean's answers. I don't care about E. Jean's answers. The questions. For those of you who are going, what the fuck is Elle Magazine? It's okay, you're not a loser. If you don't know what Elle Magazine is, that means you're normal. I only read Elle Magazine because I do fashion photography, and I look at the pictures, quite literally. And actually, I do read the articles. That's where so much of this material comes from. So Elle Magazine is a fashion magazine geared at upper, middle class, rich, left-wing statist white women. It's filled with left-wing propaganda and just bullshit. And Ask E. Jean, she's their advice columnist. And so people are writing into her. And so I think this is beautiful because the women who are writing into Elle Magazine are not like black women from the ghetto or, you know, women who came here illegally from Mexico and they're working as housekeepers and shit like this. The women who are writing into this magazine, these are white women, these are left-wing statists, these are liberal Democrats, these are wealthy, these are not women who are desperate for money, these are women who are college educated, they voted for Obama. These are the elite, upper middle class to rich white women in our society who are writing these letters. And so these letters to E. Jean are a brilliant look into the mind of the femistatist. Because every woman who writes into this, I'm telling you, these are feminists. There are no right-wing conservative Tea Party members writing to E. Jean. There are no, and I'm not saying that right-wing conservative Tea Party women are perfect. Or I mean, they're just as fucked up. They're fucked up in different ways. Okay? So this is not a defense of women who do not fit into the category of left-wing femistatist cunt. What I'm saying is this is a brilliant look into the mind, the life and the times of the left-wing femistatist cunt. So let me get started before I run out of fucking time. Dear E. Jean, I felt self-conscious about my nose since I was a little girl. It's hard for me to even take pictures without feeling I should hide it. I have an appointment for a rhinoplasty, but when I mentioned this in a light, offhand manner, my husband was absolutely against it. How should I prepare him for the surgery? I'm afraid when I come home with stitches, he will look at me differently. Well, so first of all, you're married, which in theory means that you would be making important decisions in conjunction with your husband. But apparently you decided to get the nose job without consulting your husband. So much for equality in the marriage. Second of all, I thought looks don't matter, right? You're supposed to, isn't the whole tenet of feminism that you're supposed to love women for what's inside because women are these precious princesses and it doesn't matter how fat they are or how tattooed they are or how scarred they are or how pierced they are or how much they cut their hair off or anything else. That it's all about what's on the inside. So why does your nose matter so much? Next of all, your husband, who is obviously stupid to marry you because you're obviously a cunt, Yeah. If I was married to some chick and she came in one day and said, "Yeah, I'm gonna have my nose hacked off," I would be pissed off, because again, men, I think, are more likely to accept women's physical flaws than women are to accept their own physical flaws, and then women are, of course, to accept the physical flaws of a man. Because while there's this propaganda that says men are so harsh and critical of what women look like, yeah, we are, up to a point. I mean, again, when you come in with the blubber rolling over your fucking pants and your hair shaved off and metal sticking out of your nose, yeah, we're really critical. But if you're just a normal looking woman, not so much. You know, I can put aside a lot of criticism of a woman's body if she's got a great personality and if she just doesn't have metal sticking out of her face and tattoos everywhere. Next one. So again, this is some upper middle class to rich white woman who's insecure about her nose. Well, where's your feminism, man? Where's your fucking self-esteem? Why don't you, you know, pay somebody $450 to tell you what book to read or something and get over it? This is some serious fucking white girl first world problems. Randy, where are we on time? Ah, shit. Next one. It's the age-old story. I fell in love with a fantasy and got married, and now there's nothing I can do to please the real man. Get ready for the next line. I'm a therapist, and I respect the non-traditional views and advice in L. So she's a therapist, and she fell in love with a fantasy. So apparently therapy doesn't work very well on yourself, does it? I have been married only 10 weeks to my husband, whom I've known for 4 years. I've also had an eating disorder for most of my life. I'm 34. So I'm a therapist, I married a fantasy, and I have an eating disorder. Can you imagine? How is she helping her clients? She's fucked up. She's already more fucked up than most of the people she could possibly be providing therapy for. Why would you go to this woman for therapy? But according to my doctors, friends, and family, and myself, I'm the healthiest I've ever been. So I have a heating disorder, and I married a fantasy, but I'm the healthiest I've ever been. That's called delusional. Oh, and of course, money doesn't matter. Unfortunately, my husband has begun berating me, telling me that I'm sick and not normal and that I need help. Well, you do need help. You are sick, but you're also normal, because remember, this is the new normal. This is the normal that femistatism is trying to promote. Eating disorders, lack of self-confidence, doing things like being a therapist, being mentally fucked up. This is the new normal that makes you a broken human being, that makes you dependent on the pharmaceutical corporations for drugs to regulate your mood, makes you dependent on the government for welfare benefits and stuff like that. Okay, this is the new normal. I work full-time with my clients, run 9 miles a day, do yoga and take care of his dog, our cats, and my wonderful 10-year-old daughter who does not get along with him. So she's been married for 10 weeks, but she has a 10-year-old daughter. So let's take a look at this. We've got a single mother with an eating disorder who is a therapist. He makes fun of my friends. No, wait, excuse me. He makes fun of her friends, referring to her 10-year-old daughter. He makes fun of... Really? He makes fun of his... He's making fun of 10-year-olds? I mean, I guess I make fun of 10-year-olds if they do something stupid, but... All right. And, again, let me be clear. I'm not saying whoever... I don't know anything about this guy. I'm not saying he's a catch. I'm not saying he's without flaws. I'm not saying he's perfect. But I don't... We're just analyzing this dumb... upper middle class left wing statist femistatist bitch. He makes fun of her friends, transgendered people, as we should, gay couples, black folks, and children with disabilities. Well, and all of those groups make fun of him for being a white man. I guess turnabout is fair play, isn't it, you stupid cunt? He's a pilot and his buddies share most of his sentiments. When he's home, I'm walking on eggshells. Then why did you marry him? Oh, because you're a dumb bitch. That's why. You're a fucking therapist. You married a man with whom, when he's home, you have to walk on eggshells? Why did you do this? Because you're a dumb fucking bitch. Notice how all this woman's problems are created by her actions, but she's not going to take responsibility for any of those actions. My heart pounds constantly. He follows me to the bathroom to see what I am doing in there. Recently, he told me that he expects to, quote, wake up and not love me anymore, unquote. Should I continue to try to get better, as he keeps telling me, or move out? You're a therapist, and you made such a dumb decision that you married this man who, by your account, is treating you like shit. How can you possibly be helping other people as a therapist when you can't even fucking see the stupidity of what you've done? Should you keep trying? I mean, while this woman has her flaws, the fact that she even has to ask, should I keep putting up with this? No, you stupid bitch. You shouldn't have married this guy in the first place, but you had some giant fucking hole in your life. Again, what are women? Women are life support systems for vaginas. Women are walking around throughout their entire life with a hole inside of them. And that hole needs to be filled. If they don't have a baby or a penis inside of their hole, they are incomplete. This woman had some incompleteness in her life, and she latched onto this guy who is obviously a piece of shit and an asshole. Again, I'm assuming that her account of everything is true. If this is true, he is a supreme asshole. He is a piece of shit. But like a typical woman, she cannot distinguish the difference between being a dominant male who can control his environment and make things happen and being an asshole. So she saw this asshole and she mistook the assholeness for being a dominant male who can control the environment and provide and make things happen, and she fucking married him. And now she's miserable. And she's a fucking therapist? This is who you people are going to for your fucking mental help? You people need mental help. There's more. I'll finish them in the next episode because Randy and I are out of here.